Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of Healthy for My Purpose. So glad to be back with you another day. This episode is so good, guys. Ladies, this one is for you. We are talking with Dr. Rosa Kincaid, who's talking about aging well. Men, this is for you too, but ladies, this one is especially for you. We talked to Dr. Rosa Kincaid, and she gets into what are some of the secrets, what are some of the things that we need to be doing to be able to age well, to also be able to go through that phase in life, which is menopause and postmenopause, perimenopause, all of that good stuff. She just talks about how to do this in a way that you're able to still have your vibrancy in your life. Dr. Rosa Kincaid is 75 years young, and you guys are going to love her. So let's jump into this episode. Without further ado, Dr. Rosa Kincaid. Do you believe that God wants you healthy? Then join me, Cersei Blue, and Gigi Carter on the Healthy for My Purpose podcast, where we help you realize the relationship between your health and your purpose. We share how eating like Daniel can revolutionize your life. Through discussions and interviews, we challenge you to discover the powerful connection between plant-based nutrition, your body, and your faith. It's time. All right. Hi, Dr. Kincaid. Thank you so much for coming on our podcast. It's such a pleasure to have you. I want to start off by just saying that honestly, Dr. Kincaid, you are an inspiration just watching, like going on your page and seeing your lifestyle and just how vibrant you are at your age. It defies all of the stereotypical things that happens, you know, that people talk about aging. And it just defies all of that. I just want to say that you're inspiration to women and just everyone that's around you. I just want to say that up front. So,
well, thank you.
Awesome.
So much. Thank you.
So we're going to jump right in. And I figured what we can do is like, we see where you're at now. It looks like you've been doing this since 1971, kind of approaching a healthy lifestyle. Could you just kind of give us a little bit of background on your story growing up, how you started to take charge of your health and became a doctor and just the whole path that you've been taking?
Well, I started in the Bronx, New York City, and nothing really unusual about it. Just, it's a whole different time then, but just going to school, public school was, just grew up to working class people. I got married really, really young to a pretty well-known musician, Norman Connors. I don't know if you ever heard the song, You Are My Starship. Mm. Maybe not. You guys are, but at any rate.
We'll look it up though, Dr. Kincaid. I'm intrigued now.
Yeah, it's been sampled a lot. So anyway, the record went gold, I don't know if you have the TV show Unsung, but they did a Unsung episode on him. But at any rate, I just grew up in the city, going to city college, eating just regular stuff. And I was a dancer in college with the group, with the Black Studies group. And, so we were always looking, about our culture. But when I had my son, at 3 years old, he just started really getting sick. He started getting sick. And every time he would get sick, he would start wheezing. Mm. And I would have to take him to the hospital. They would take x-rays of his chest and give him shots, et cetera. And it just started happening more and more frequently. I had a friend in the Bronx who started reading. He gave me a book one day. And the name of the book was Back to Eden. As in the Garden of Eden, is written by this man, Jethro Kloss. He wasn't a doctor, just grew up in the countryside. And when he got sick, his grandmother used to go in the back and pick some weeds and give it to him. And he just wrote this book about it. And he had all these remedies and all these different herbs, et cetera. So when my friend gave me this book, I didn't really pay much attention to tell you the honest truth. I was a teacher in the public schools in the Bronx. But when my son started getting sick, I just picked up that book and started reading it. I can't explain why, but I read this book, and you know, it's really different. It was very, you know, kind of different. But I just decided one day that there was a remedy, there was a recipe for asthma. So after kind of bringing him, having to go to the hospital and wait in the emergency room, et cetera, I just went, had to go to Harlem to get there was some herbs. I went and got these herbs. There was nobody to ask. I got a bag of herbs. It had eucalyptus and a whole bunch of other stuff in it. And I came home, I just threw it in a pot, boiled it up. And then I just put in a cup, and it looked horrible. It looked like swamp water. But I told my son that, if you drink, you know, just drink this, and then you won't have to go to the emergency room and get those shots. So he drank it. And then we're just kind of sitting there looking at him. I didn't know what to expect or what to do or anybody to ask. After about 30 minutes, he started running to the bed. He started heaving. So he ran to the bathroom. I held his head like over the toilet, and he just started throwing up. And of course, now he was wheezing, right? He was wheezing. I didn't want to go to the emergency room. And all that came up was this thick, tenacious mucus. It was clear, thick mucus. That's all that came out.
Wow.
And he was throwing up for about 10, 15 minutes. But after he finished throwing up, he wasn't wheezing anymore.
Wow.
And so that was my aha moment. I said, you know, there's something about this.
Yeah.
There's some sort of truth in this.
Yeah.
That I don't know about. And I was always kind of a little radical kind of person anyway. So I just started reading every book I could that was about natural healing, herbal stuff. And everybody knows about Dr. Sabi, right?
Yeah.
Dr. Sabi was in Brooklyn. He was kind of like my doctor. He was the doctor for the conscious peoples. So I used to go to Brooklyn and he'd give you a bottle of stuff anyway. So I just, after I started reading, it explained, you know, the pathophysiology of asthma and how it has to do with derangement of the stomach, the mucus forming foods. It had the treatments. And so I took, you know, he's three, he's eating a lot of cheese. I took all those things out of his diet, sugar, cheese, a lot of bread. It was tough on him for sure. After I changed his diet, after I gave him those herbs, he never had another attack of asthma again. That was it.
Wow.
So after I read the book, then I got more and more into, you know, food as medicine, how actually the vegetables and fruits have medicinal properties. And I changed my diet, and then at that point, that's when people that were in the Bronx, I was in a dance company and I was teaching school, but people started calling me up. And when they would get sick, people just started calling me up and asking me, what should they do? What herbs should they take? So it's like the community natural doctor. And so then, you know, so at the time in New York City, it was a lot of political things going on. I really, really loved my job. I worked in the South Bronx. But I just said, well, you know, maybe I could just become a doctor. I don't know what made me think that I could do that, but I just knew a lot about the body from reading and healing. And so I decided to apply to medical school, and I wrote a lot of letters saying how that I wanted to work in the Bronx and, you know, help people that are underserved. Prevent disease, not so much, hey, you get sick and you can do all this stuff and then you don't have to get sick. I didn't know it was going to help with the anti-aging too. It's just like, hey, look, you know, maybe if you don't eat all that stuff, you won't get sick and you won't have to take all these pills and you won't get surgery. And you know, everybody in my family had cancer and stuff. I said, like, I don't want to get that. What do I have to do? So that was the beginning of it. I got accepted into a lot of schools. I got interviews at 19 schools. I really couldn't even afford to go to interviews. I didn't have enough money. After about 5 interviews, that's my cash ran out. But I got accepted at 3 schools, and I went to Temple University School of Medicine, and because I wanted all the information. I didn't want to just, okay, I read all these books and I could go heal people. I wanted to know about the anatomy, the pathophysiology. I wanted to know about the medications, because sometimes people need the medication. Sometimes to save somebody's life, you need the medication. You need to know how the medications work. You need to know how the medications work with the herbs. Sometimes you can have a problem with combining those things. So I needed to have, you want to know everything that you can. You want to know the allopathic, the homeopathic, all of that stuff. So all of the information really helped me to understand even better how each organ functions, and also how to approach people to get them to try to, you know, change their diet. And for myself, I realized that I have to be a good example for my patients.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I can't be all out of shape and all broken down and trying to tell somebody, hey, this is what you should do. So that's also a big part of my message. Because for myself, like if I'm going to pick out a trainer, right, I'm going to pick out a trainer that looks like how I want to look, who looks healthy. So the same thing, I think that your doctor should also be an example of good health. So that's also part of, you know, my message and how I approach people.
Yeah, I have to ask this because we ask this of every doctor that comes on our podcast. How much nutrition education did you get in medical school?
Well, you get about a week. You learn about, you know, diseases, beriberi, scurvy, but you don't, you know, it's not, you don't really learn about food as medicine per se. You just learn about really extreme cases where you have severe deficiencies, you know, kwashiorkor and things like that. But it's not when I was in school, I went to school, medical school, 1980, 1984. And just 1 week.
Yeah. Yeah.
The food pyramid. You know, with the meat in there and all that stuff that I don't eat. So
yeah,
protein and all that kind of stuff. So
Got it. Okay. So, you know, I know that the documentary hasn't come out. They're trying to kill us, but that's actually how we connected with you. That's how, cause we, I was one of the first, I was like among the group of financial supporters to make the movie. And so I had given, you know, a sum of money to then get rights to watch the movie. And I got some other swag. I don't have it. I should have brought it with me to wear, but I did watch it. Cersei and I watched it together when we were together in Georgia. And you were on there, you were featured on there. And it's just an amazing documentary. I hope it does come out. I think I saw an update on the Instagram account that they're working to get it out there. There's some consternation, and it's public. This is not private information, it's posted out there with some of the sponsors, because it does make some of the sponsors of the movie or of the people who are funding the movie uncomfortable, because it's exposing, I think, what's going on. So there's a little politicking going on, I think. That's the way I interpreted it. So, so just tell us a little bit about like your participation in that documentary. Like, how did it come about? Did John Lewis, you know, Badass Vegan, reach out to you, or did one of the other producers? Like, how did that happen? I'm just curious.
Well, Dr. Neil Barnard is somebody that I've had an association with for quite a while. I would say it's got to be at least 15 years. A physician's committee for responsible medicine, which he's against the medical schools using animals to, you know, when they're in our labs and, you know, and for training, because the dog's physiology is not human physiology. Right. And having to kill the animals and torture the animals and experimentation. So at any rate, he is the one who told John Lewis to call me. Mm-hmm. And so they called me and told me that, asked me to be in the film. Mm-hmm. And so that's how I got there. I was actually in private practice, practicing holistic medicine with my patients, and so I was just really, you know, excited to do that. And actually afterwards they told me they wanted to come back, but they came back and it was like they wanted to come back to film some of my patients who had been through the holistic program to have them do testimonies, but then the you know, the pandemic happened. And, you know, they weren't really able to come back, but I was very, very excited. I've seen Keegan's other movies, mm-hmm. You know, and actually, what the hell? I play that video in my office. You know, I play his videos in my, just patients are waiting. They don't, a lot, because not all of my patients were holistic, that I was, you know, taking commercial insurance. So a lot of people were just coming in for primary care. And they were sitting there and that movie was playing. And then they were like, what? You know, like, I didn't know all that. And so it really helped convince a lot of people, yeah, that, hey, I want to know about this holistic stuff and how I can get stopped. People, hey, I don't want to take these pills.
Yeah.
And so I know his work, and his work, you know, is just so outstanding. Yeah. I was just really thrilled to be asked to be in that movie.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think I can't wait for it to come out, because I think, yeah, it's to be very eye-opening to a lot of people. Cersei and I run a healthy Christian woman boot camp, and we talk about some of those interconnections between your chronic illness and the profitability of your chronic illness and the food system and everything. And so it very much lines up with what's been our message since we started what we've been doing. And so we were super excited and loved your part in it as well.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. So we can't wait for it to come out, and hopefully it'll be very soon.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so we're going to pivot and kind of get into, you know, a lot of our audience, or some of the women that we serve, are kind of in a middle age group, where we're kind of embarking on menopause, or in menopause, or we're post-menopause. And so I wanted to talk a little bit about your expertise in this area in terms of aging against the odds of what is quote unquote stated what should happen. Because I think a lot of times when we think about aging, just generally, we think, okay, well, we're going to get a chronic health issue. We're going to be in a lot of pain. We're going to lose our mental capacity. There's just a lot of things that we are expecting for ourselves. But I noticed, you know, in your practice, you kind of talk about the fact that that doesn't have to be the reality. Could you talk a little bit about, just before we get into specifics, what this whole aging process can look like if you are following a healthy lifestyle?
Well, I'm really glad that you use that word expecting, because it all starts up here. You know, if you set in your mind that you're expecting to have some big change when you get a certain age, that you're going to have hot flashes, that you're going to be forgetting everything, that you're going to experience, or you're going to get diabetes, you're going to get hypertension, because it all runs in your family. When you expect that, your brain, people don't realize the power of your brain. When you expect something to happen, bad stuff to happen, you have a good chance it's going to happen. You know, if you expect good things to happen, you know, you have a good chance that good things are going to happen to you. Mm. But I can tell you, if you if if the women in your family are all having these symptoms and all of you have similar lifestyles, like all of you are eating the same kind of diet, you know, and all of you have the same activity, you know, and your program say, yeah, the women in my family have the, and we all eat the same way. And we all, our exercise level is the same. And our thoughts of what to expect when they age are the same. You have a really good chance that all of those things are going to happen to you. Mm-hmm. So I can say there's things in your mind. And when you look around you, you're around people who are going to tell you, oh yeah, you know, yeah, when you get a certain age, you're just going to gain a lot of weight. And you get a certain age, you're gonna get a fat stomach and you're gonna feel tired. Yeah, you're gonna get off, your knees are gonna get, you know, if you're around people like that, that kind of vibe, you have a good chance of all those things are gonna happen to you. Mm-hmm. So I can say that it all starts in the brain. I guess in my mind, I'm saying to myself, like, yeah, I don't know, when am I supposed to want to wear old lady clothes? Or when am I supposed to get to a point where I'm going to want to shop in the stores that have real boring looking, you know, it just never happened. Or when am I going to get to the point where I don't want to do Zumba? I don't want to do salsa. And it just never happened. When am I going to get to the point where I'm going to, okay, I want to not work anymore, where I just want to sit home and watch TV and go to the coffee? It just never happened. So I would say you program yourself. I don't feel any different. I just feel like I'm just always trying to, I don't know, have more energy. I'm always trying to look nice. It's just something, I can't say why. It's just ingrained in me that I don't see any reason why I don't want to look like my patients that are all broken down. I just don't. And when I see people that are like that and they're walking around with a walker and they're younger than I am and they're hobbling along and wearing some clothes, it's like, okay. I just tell myself, what do I have to do so I don't have to go through that? I just don't want to be like that. And reading those books, yeah. I didn't know it was gonna turn out like this, but it all starts in the brain. That's all I can say. This is your master gland up here. This is your software. Yeah. You know, this is your hardware, but this is your software up there. So you have to program it to, like, what do you want your life to be in the next 5 years? What do you want your life to be? If you want to be vibrant, it's not like it's all that smooth, or it's not that it's easy to do. It's just like you have to decide what kind of life you want to have. Mm-hmm. And yeah. What do you want to achieve?
And Dr. Kincaid, for the people who are listening, I don't think we even stated this at the beginning, but can you share your age?
I'm 75 now.
Yeah. And I asked
you, I'm that old, to tell you the honest.
I knew your age. I just wanted you to say it because I saw it on your Instagram, and we're going to attach all your social information and how people can reach you to the show notes of this podcast. But you do not at all look like what I've seen a 75-year-old look like. I mean, honestly, we look like we're the same age, and I'm in my early 50s. I mean, and I'm just like,
I thought you were 21 or something. Oh, God. That's amazing. You're amazing.
And you know, I mean, I'm looking at you and I'm just like, wow, you know, this is spectacular, because like Cersei said, I think we have these visuals out there in the external world, whether it's our own family, people we work with, people at our church, you know, people in the community, and we know their age and we know how they look, we know how they move, and we have this expectation imprinted in our brain of what 75 is. And then you just blow that out of the water. You just completely break down that paradigm. And your lifestyle obviously plays a huge, huge part of that. And one thing I do want to, in talking about, you know, the aging process and everything, and we touched on like hot flashes, I do want to ask you a question about like hormones and menopause, because, you know, I think a lot of times people think of menopause as a disease when it's really like a stage in life. And it has a lot to do with, you know, our hormones changing. Can you talk a little more about like that process for women who are listening, who are in their 40s or 50s, maybe they're in perimenopause and they haven't quite hit menopause. What's happening, you know, when we get into that season of our life relative to our hormones?
Well, great question. Our hormones are neurotransmitters, and the estrogen basically is, it's neuroprotective. We have receptors on our sex organs, but we also have hormone receptors in our brain. And what happens is we get to a certain age and those hormones can get depleted. But I gotta say that, you know, a lot of the, especially our progesterone really gets stress deplete, help is part of the depletion process. Stress really causes a lot of depletion and environmental stress also. And the other thing that I really have to say is there are a lot of what we call xenohormones in our environment. In other words, xenohormones are chemicals in our environment that act like our actual hormones, and they attach to the different receptors, and they cause a lot of problems because they're not really the hormones, but our bodies cannot tell the difference between the real hormones and the chemicals. And so what's happening, even with a lot of our younger women, is these xenohormones are attaching to the receptors and causing a lot of disease. They're causing an imbalance in the hormones. So what's happening with it, especially in, or I can just basically talk about our country, is that it causes an imbalance. And the imbalance is what's causing the problem. If we compare our country to some place where I'd say like an Asian country where people are eating a lot of tofu or green tea, a lot of the foods that they're eating have estrogen in it, but not the xenohormones. Not the xenohormones. So they don't experience as many of the physical, I don't even know if they have a word for menopause. A lot of it just comes from depletion of the hormones here due to different stresses. And what kind of stresses do women have here? Women have the stress of, okay, first of all, exposure to a lot of environmental toxins that I said, they knock the estrogen off of the receptors and replace it with harmful chemicals. The other thing we have is the stress of women. There's a lot of stress and women don't get the same pay for doing the same job. Number two, we have a lot of single parent women that, you know, are just stressed out from their, you know, just from taking care of jobs and children. And they don't get enough rest, it's happening with men too. We don't get enough rest, relaxation. And the other thing I would say is, in terms of environmental, just being exposed to a lot of toxins in the chemical, which has an effect on our other hormones, especially our thyroid hormones, which if your thyroid is out of whack, that's going to also affect your estrogen levels. There are, you know, everything, it's kind of like, everything is like the little fine pieces, like of a watch, you know, and everything. So once there's an imbalance in certain hormones, it kind of throws off the balance of the hormones in other systems too. When the estrogen gets out of whack, that has an effect on and the progesterone, that has an effect on the heart. That's when women start going through menopause, then they're more at risk for having a heart attack. Mm-hmm. The thyroid, when the thyroid is out, when your estrogen is out of whack, it can have an effect on your thyroid, your sluggish thyroid. That can cause depression, that can cause hair loss, that causes weight gain. So it's the imbalance. And what happens when women get to a certain age, all those stresses, that's when you start paying for years and years of stress. That's when you get paying for not really understand. We don't really have a really good understanding of how our bodies work. And then if you go to a doctor, because okay, you have menstrual problems. You can start off young. You have menstrual problems, or you have bleeding problems, or if you have fibroids, or any of those things. When women have problems, the treatment is to just have a hysterectomy. Just cut everything. Cut your uterus out. Cut your organs out. Just cut everything.
Yeah, it's so expensive.
You know. Yeah. It's not about okay. Let's find out what your hormone levels are.
Right.
Let's see what your nutrition is like. Let's try to work with balancing these things out and finding out, like, why are you bleeding so much? Why do you have pain? Why do you have, instead of doing that, cutting everything out, that's going to be the treatment for women's health for the most part. That's what it's been for the longest time. That people tell you, well, you get to a certain age, you haven't got some fibroids, you're not having kids anymore. Just cut everything out. So the whole thing is, finding balance. There's an imbalance from years and years of different stressors. So what I do is I measure all the hormones and I try to balance everything out naturally, try to maintain those organs, you know, and get at the root of, like, you know, why are you having hot flashes? Why? It's not just going to be menopause. Could be other thing, you know. You have to balance everything out. So,
yeah.
And you know, we just have a lot of. I mean, we're just convinced that we don't need this organ, or we don't need that, you know. But I mean, we came with that organ. We came with that organ. This is that when you get to some certain place, you just cut everything out, and then you're gonna be okay. I don't think so.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's obviously a lot of risk. Anytime you open up and start removing stuff, there's risks of other things happening in addition to, you know, just trying to remove the organ. But, you know, food definitely plays a big role. I know, like dairy, for example, I understand it contributes to things like endometriosis, and, you know, just not getting enough, you know, like sea vegetables in your diet can contribute to thyroid problems, or selenium, not eating enough Brazil nuts, you know, on the regular. So there, you know, I love the fact that you start with measuring your hormones. Like, let's see where you're at today, and look at the data first, and then come up with a plan, you know, to get you in balance. I think that's awesome. So, Cersei, did you want to jump in?
No, I just wanted to find out if you can give us maybe just off the top of your head, just a few tips for someone that's in menopause. What are some foods that maybe might be very complementing to that process?
Well, I would say if women are having a lot of symptoms with the menopause, like hot flushes and I would say you want to try to really adapt more of a plant-based diet. And when I say plant-based, you have to remember, being plant-based is just saying that you got to be careful with that too, because a lot of people think, well, I don't eat meat, but then they eat a lot of white sugar, white rice, candy chips and all that stuff. I'd say get rid of the grease, get rid of fried foods, and eat more dark green leafy vegetables. Try to eat them in the natural state, and start doing exercise. Start working out. Working out is one of the best things that you could do for menopause. Mm-hmm. If you do like at least 30 minutes every day of something, you could walk, online. There are all kind of free workout things now, which during the pandemic, you could just look on your phone and put some music on and do a workout. Go to the Y. Sometimes working out with people. Don't worry about how you look. Oh, I have to look cute before I go to the Y. No, go to the Y and work out, if you got grandkids, that go walking with them. Hang out with them. Our bodies are meant to be active. You have muscles, you have to use them.
Yes. Yep. Yep.
Yeah.
And then don't be. So a lot of women get to a certain age. I don't want to have sex. That's abnormal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
These are that's abnormal things. Too.
Yeah.
That's very. It's very. I say a whole lot about. But a lot of people say, "Oh no, you know."
Yeah. Yeah, and usually that's symptomatic of something else, right? Like you're not
hormones imbalance.
Hormones, yeah, yeah.
But then that's a natural part of being a woman, and I don't think it's not supposed to stop when you get a certain age.
Yeah.
But I know that's like these days. I know you have to be really, really, really careful about that because. It's almost kind of dangerous these days, mm-hmm. but you know, that's something that you you want to think about. And I think that it really helps for women, you know, to be able to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you were talking about like just eating a whole food plant-based, you know, diet as a way to get through menopause.
And get through life.
Get through life. Yeah. Get through life. Exactly. And could you talk a little bit more about the role of ultra processed foods? You touched on it. Like you could eat plant-based, but be eating, you know, like crap, basically. Like what, talk a little more about how ultra processed foods, you know, can contribute to hormone imbalance.
Well, ultra processed foods causes a state of inflammation in the body. So inflammation causes like overreaction of your white blood cells, reaction of your body's immune system working to try to neutralize toxins, overactivity of your liver trying to neutralize toxins that you're putting in there, kidney, eating a lot of animal-based food is very hard for your kidneys to function with a lot of animal protein. It causes an overreaction. And even, people who have kidney failure, one of the things that they do when you're on dialysis, they tell you eat a low-protein diet. So people eat too much animal protein. It's too much. Mm-hmm. It's way too much. It's stress on the kidneys. So so the diet is the plant-based diet, and it gets rid of the inflammation. The eating like shit, because people say, oh, I eat plant-based, I eat potato chips, but the more you take the food out of its natural state, mm-hmm. then the body does not recognize it.
Yeah.
The body understands like an apple a day keeps the doctor away, right? Just eat, just eat, just get an apple, just eat an apple. But when you take the apple and you cook it and you smash it up and make a pie, no, that's not meat. But then it's a toxin. Body doesn't recognize apple pie. That's going to cause inflammation. It's got sugar. It's got processed stuff in it. So the processed foods, the processed plant-based foods, and there's so much of it out there. You don't need. It's caught. It's also seen as a toxin.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think people who are listening need to also kind of recognize. So if you're going into the grocery store, we're talking about spending most of your time in that produce section. If the only time you go to the freezer section is if you're going to buy some frozen blueberries or some, you know, frozen pineapple chunks or maybe some Ezekiel bread or something, maybe, you know, it's not. Right. You're not in that frozen food section getting that pizza that you're going to heat up, you know, for the family for dinner, or getting that, you know, that chicken dinner with the mashed potato TV dinners. You're not buying any of that stuff. You're really, when you're shopping, you're mostly in the produce section, or maybe in the bulk section, getting some dried beans or some peas or lentils. And you're just skipping that whole part in the middle with all the colorful packaging, unless you're picking up some green tea, right? It's really just thinking about where, when I have my cart in my hand and I'm walking into the store, where am I headed and what am I putting in that cart? And that whole food in or close to its most natural state is going to be largely in that produce section in the areas we talked about. So Dr. Kincaid, where can people contact you?
They can contact me at drrosakincaid.org. So it's K-I-N-C-A-I-D. So it's drrosakincaid.org. And you can get my newsletter. So I've started seeing patients. I have some wellness plans. In the future, I'll be setting up workshops and things. Right, just getting started out now. So I do have, I am seeing patients, but those patients that I'm seeing are, you know, I would say people that are really, really sick and really trying to change their lifestyles. But in the future, if you follow me, you know, I'll be able to expand so I'm more accessible. But right now, you know, that's what I'm doing.
Yeah.
If they get the newsletter, then they can, you know, stay on top of it.
And stay in,
you know,
contact.
I'll be doing podcasts and even speaking engagements.
Awesome. So thank you so much for coming, Dr. Kincaid. One of the things that we kind of, you know, shout from the mountaintop is that God has a purpose for everyone, but he needs them healthy so that they can live out their purpose and live longevity and a long, healthy life. And you are a testament to that. Thank you so much for coming on. And we look forward to see all the great things that you're going to be restarting. We're going to keep an eye out on for that. And maybe we'll call you back to do a cooking chat with us.
I would love to do that.
We can definitely collaborate in the future. But thank you so much.
Okay. You're very welcome. Yes. Thank you so much.
Hey guys, I wanted to jump in on here. Thank you so much for listening to this episode. But before we close out like we normally do, I wanted to bring to your attention that we have a new book coming out. It's going to be released on September 8th, 2023, and it's entitled Daniel Fast, Why You Should Only Do It Once. So if you want to revolutionize your health, if you want to manage your blood pressure, diabetes, lose weight, or just feel better, you want to get your hands on this book. Until next time, see you later. Thank you for joining us on the Healthy for My Purpose podcast. We hope you enjoyed the community and are walking away empowered and encouraged to live your healthiest life for your God-ordained purpose. You can connect with us on Facebook and Instagram to enjoy fellowship with like-minded women. Please don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review this on iTunes. Until we meet again, keep honoring your body for your purpose.